all run through where I patted it down, because then we had you can just tell how much Michael knew. He was an indoor man, not outdoor man. We didn't line it or anything. Now, he, really speaking, he was a real educated man, but when you got him outdoor doing anything, he was a real dunce. A real dunce he was. When I look back at it, Michael was learning everything there was to learn indoors, and I was learning everything there was outdoors.
I see.
Right? So it got to the stage that really, although, you know, Michael and myself never saw eye to eye, we used to have a hell of arguments, but he knew whatever I was arguing about was for the interest of the business, right? And I realised what he was arguing about was interest of the business, see? And therefore, it got to a stage, I think, where he couldn't do without me, and I couldn't do without him. Because if I finished, he was going to see to all the clay washing and mixing the slips and glaze this,
yes,
and pug in and go pulling the out, do this, do that, you know, helping with the kiln and firing and all that. It was just one of those things. Other things I had to teach him. You know, outside jobs.
Yes.
Now, pugging and all like that. I was pugging there one day with Elisha, and I don't know, some water got in there and it was slipping round. And he came out and he said, "Push it down with your hand." I said, "Don't you get trying that." I said, "You'll have your fingers in there. Mind your own big business," he says. And I thought, well, I can't stop him. He's the gaffer. He pushed his hand in. The next thing, his finger was bleeding, and he had a big cut right the way across his finger with a blade. He got his blade underneath, right? Outdoor. I used to always push him in. If he come out, wanted help, I said, "Oh, no, you go on back in. You got plenty to do inside." When I was doing the job, I used to always like him as far away as possible.
Yes.
Because he'd come, you know, and advise me what to do, and he'd never done the job, and I'd been doing it, say, 2 or 3 years, you know, and it wasn't in his line that, because he was the kind of man, if you gave him a hammer and a nail and ask him knocking the wood, he'd hit the wrong nail more times than he'd hit the right one.
Yeah.
But potting was in his blood, you know. Yes, even when he couldn't make pots, when I say he couldn't make pots, I don't mean, you know, he couldn't do anything on the wheel. He can make sort of certain shapes, but not how they should be. When he made a pot, you could look at it and think, well, it was like a rosebud, a nice little rosebud, just waiting to burst out and be a real lovely pot. You could see it in there, even his handles, when he put his handles on. You could see, you know, it wasn't right, but it's there, and it's going to grow.
Were there any pots that you liked to make in particular?
Yes, and I always regret not doing it, because I never done it.
Mm.
I never made the pots I was capable of making.
Mm. Mm. What
would they have been like?
We were both eager to know what would they have been like. I never made the pots I was capable of making. I couldn't.
What sort of things would you like to have made?
Oh, nice big pots.
Yeah.
Nice big cider jars.
Why didn't you make them?
Well,
Ray and Michael made those.
You haven't had the experience, right, about, have you?
No. No.
Well. No, you know, I just couldn't, somehow.
Mm.
I couldn't go over his head. You know. I used to long to get up and, you know, really make it. Mm. It was nothing to do. It would have been just another job to me. But it would have been satisfying for me to have done it.
It wasn't your territory.
Pardon?
It wasn't your territory.
No. Well, what can I say? You could have stepped on someone's toes.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. No. Mm. I would have really loved to make some nice big cider jars, big pots.
Yeah.